Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got an interesting interview with our local fisheries biologist, Max Walter. And lastly, some fishing tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get out and hit the trails with the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports. Hurry in for rebates up to $2,000 on the last few remaining 2018s. Meanwhile, the 2019 Polaris snowmobile lineup offers a two-year limited warranty on select models and financing as low as 3.99%. Plus, if you have young riders, check out the Polaris Indy Evo, the trail-ready sled built specifically to transform new riders into confident riders, starting at just $52.99. Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out today is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, John.
Yeah, busy down here at the shop the last few days. It looks like a little bit slower today in here as we're recording, but coming up the weekend, it's probably going to get pretty busy.
Oh, yeah. As we encroach that weekend, I think everyone gets the itch to get out on the ice, enjoy actually some really nice weather that we're looking to be having, and getting out and enjoying it, so.
Been a lot of people ice fishing. I see a lot of people on the lakes out there.
Yeah, I think just maybe with a little bit of our given snow conditions and stuff like that, you know, there's some guys that aren't going to go out and, you know, beat themselves up on their snowmobiles. And, you know, there's maybe a little bit of skiing going on. But it's kind of the activity that a lot of people are being drawn to just because we've got some fantastic ice conditions.
Yeah, so. We don't have a lot of ice. I mean, 12, 14, 15, 16 inches of ice at the most I'm hearing, but more like in that 14-inch range.
Yep.
But it's solid ice.
Yeah, good solid ice. We had a good start to the season. Earlier this week, we had a little bit of snow to, you know, on the lakes, but we had a little bit of rain, but now that has frozen solid as well on top of the ice. So pretty easy travel out there, even if you have to drag a little, you know, sled or tote with you, so.
What are you seeing here at the shop coming in as far as the reports on the fishing?
Well, some guys are getting some panfish in the, you know, deeper basins. There's been a few guys that have been still catching some fish fairly shallow in that 18 to 20 foot range, just because we haven't had that many drastically cold right. days. We've only had really a few. So it's been, I'd say, a fairly mild winter. And anglers are getting out chasing walleyes. We're kind of in a little bit of that roller coaster time of the year, but you know, for getting out early in the morning or that last light evening, if you get set up on a good spot, you know, guys are finding and catching some fish.
I think the key thing you said is get set up on a good spot, because not everywhere is going to have those fish.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, how about crappie fishing? You know, I've had some reports that, you know, they've been getting crappies, but there's days where there's a lot of lookers at your, you know, on your locator, but not a lot of biters.
Absolutely, John. And sometimes day to day, or even just, you know, 4 hours later, that jigging cadence can really make or break the putting fish on the ice or fish to hand.
You know, and that's where your locators come in real important, being able to watch what you're doing and see what's going on down there. I know a lot of guys like the old flashers of XLRs. I actually kind of like to watch the regular graph screen on my Humminbirds, because I can see a history of what I was doing jigging, and I can watch the fish coming up or down. So either way works, just what you get used to.
Yeah, being intuitive while you're on the ice and is always going to be beneficial for you to, you know, make that next step to having a good day on the hard water.
How about pike? You know, pike fishing should start to get pretty good out there.
Yeah, and actually we have been getting some reports of guys having some more success on the ice. It's really quiet pike early season, you know, on the ice, but now that there are guys that, you know, we've had some reports where guys have had 16 to 25 flags going a day, so there are some guys that are getting out and having fun and having some success on pike with tip-ups.
You had any reports at all on up in the Big Lake, up on Superior, or anything from guys like Tigan or anybody?
Well, they are getting out there fishing a little bit. I know outside of the bay they have, you know, there has been just with some of the heavy winds and stuff, but it sounds like from the last report I've seen or heard up there, there's about 8 to 12 inches last I heard in the bay. It sounds like some guys have been getting some trout. There has been some, you know, action on other panfish and even a little bit of pike up there too.
Yeah, and I've been getting some pretty decent reports from clear over in Minnesota and over in the Dakotas too. So, yeah, ice fishing season, it looks like it's going to be a really good year this year. You guys are geared up here at the shop. You got just about everything and anything somebody need to get out there on the ice?
Absolutely. We'll get you outfitted, no doubt.
And if they need the information or the guide services, I know you got several of the guides come in here. You got the information for all that, lake maps, everything.
Yeah. If anyone's just needs to get pointed in the right direction, or if they're looking for a guide in the Hayward area, here at Hayward Bait, we'll be able to help you out in any way.
You know, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on here, and you want to hang with us here because we got another segment coming up with an interview with our local fisheries biologist, Max Walter. But we need to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. When we come back, we'll have that interview. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Hayward area is a snowmobiler's haven with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, find Hayward Power Sports. We're open 7 days a week because the weekends are when you count on us the most. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service department. With the most up-to-date computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with well over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out our Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and HJC helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com. And then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Myrie, and sitting in today helping out is fishing guide Eric Tuohy. Eric, you know, our biologist here, Max Walter, has been just fantastic as far as working with the clubs and the people in our fishery.
Absolutely. He's a fantastic biologist. We're very fortunate here to have him as our fisheries biologist. And, you know, if you're ever got a question on a species of fish or a lake in particular in our Hayward area, shoot him an email. I think he'll be, you know, happy to see all the information that he can provide. He will get to you.
So he wants to interact with the people. Let's hear what he had to say about the fisheries and the pike and some of that stuff. Max, you know, your job is kind of an interesting job up here, trying to figure out how to maintain the fisheries. And we got a lot of variables coming into play. You know, we've got, obviously, we're sitting here looking at almost no snow in January, very little snow, and a much milder winter than what we expected. The Farmer's Almanac was way off on that one, I think. But the climate's changed a little bit, whether that's a natural thing or what's going on, I don't want to get into that debate. But it is changed, and you've got other issues, other things. Like, I don't know if the amount of anglers has changed out there, but the effectiveness of anglers has changed with the equipment and the technology and the knowledge of what we know, and just so much information out there for the average angler to learn to be more effective.
Yeah, that's an issue I think we hear brought up more and more often, is that how fishing has changed and how the technology's advanced. You know, the average fishing experience today is very different than it was 20 years ago. And what impact does that have on the fish? Because they don't have the same ability to adapt and, you know, change with the technology. They're still doing the things that they've done. They do adapt, of course, it's very, very slowly. So the question is, do we need to adapt our management to kind of the changing fishing experience?
Well, you know, and kind of, you can kind of get a population of one species out of balance for another sometimes, and sometimes it just, one species, like, let's like talk northern pike. Northern pike are a problem here it's getting to be more of a problem, and they seem to be very prolific for one. I mean, I always kid people, I say you could raise them in a septic tank, but, you know, they're pretty good at adapting to stuff. But the problem is that there's not much harvest on them compared to walleyes and perch and crappies and that stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good way of summarizing an issue that we have on a lot of our lakes. Coincidentally, a lot of our native musky lakes, where, you know, that's the species people are showing up hoping to catch. You know, examples there would be Lacuta ray, Sisabagama, the Chipaflowage, just to name a few. And now we're starting to have pike issues and spider and the tiger cat chain. So pike is something that I think we're going to be putting more focus on over the last few years. I think previously on radio shows with you, we've maybe talked about some of the stuff we've done on Lacuta ray, right, where we've done some of the netting removals. And last spring, you know, we followed up on that to see how things changed on Lacuta ray, and we were pretty blown away, actually, by the results. It was much more of a dramatic change than I thought, and a positive change.
In other words, they got bigger.
Yeah, so what we did on Lacuta ray is we went in and we netted out about a third of the pike the first year, and those went to a combination of food shelves, senior centers, and some of the larger ones we kept alive, and we put them in the Lacuta ray River. But that reduction, just taking a third of the pike out of the population, freed up a lot more food for the remaining pike to eat. We hope that it freed up more food for walleye and muskie and other things, and reduced predation on some of those other species. And so what we saw in just a short amount of time, in just 1 year, was that the average pike size went up 3.5 inches. And
wow.
Yeah, I mean, to some people that might not sound like anything too dramatic, but in my line of work, if you can get a 3.5 inch bump on almost anything in 1 year, that's great. And we want to see how that continues to play out. We did take out a few more in 2018, so we'll continue to monitor that population, but we've very quickly and very dramatically increased the size of the pike out there, where people now, I'm guessing, are going to be catching a lot more 24s, 25s, 26s, whereas in the past, they were those snaky 19 to 21s, right, that people don't get too excited about.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting when you talk about that, because I know over in Minnesota, the harvest on pike seems to be a bigger issue, because they put slot limits on and things that try to get the size structure back up to some of those 5 to 8, 10 pound pike that were missing from the system that were there originally. But here we don't have a harvest problem on them, and that's creating a whole bunch of little mini pike.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't harvest pike at a very high rate. When we look at creel data, we see that about 85 to 90% of pike that are caught are released. And a lot of times that's because the people catching pike aren't even out there trying to catch them. You know, right. They're bass fishing or they're walleye fishing or muskie or whatever. So we would love to see people proactively harvesting more of these small pike. And so that's a message we're really trying to push out there, especially on the Chippewa flowage this year. We're working with the property owners, the Resort Owners Association, Muskies Inc. to develop kind of a big program to try and get a really ambitious number of pike harvested on the chip by anglers this year. We can't do it all through netting because of the size of that water body. But if we can get anglers to help us out, reduce pike abundance, we think we could see bigger pike there too. And we'd also like to stock a bunch of muskies in the fall of 2019. And so getting pike out there will hopefully improve the survival of those stockfish.
Well, actually, I think they're as good eating as walleye, too. They're good eating.
They're fantastic. I think the only hang up at all is that Y bone. I think a lot of people, it deters them. Some people, they don't like how slimy they are and, you know, they gunk up your boat and stuff. But the quality of the fish fry, the end product is, I think, unquestionably great.
Well, you know, you mentioned muskies, and muskies are one of our big target fish up here. People try to catch because sport anglers come up here. But ultimately, there can be sometimes some short-term benefits of pike. I mean, muskies like to eat little baby pike, but little tiny baby pike, after they hatch ahead of the little baby muskies, they like to eat little muskies too. So you actually, that's what one of the big problems, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, the ideal scenario, if we could get to there in a place like Lacouderay or Spider Lake or something like that, is to have a fairly low density population of pike so that, you know, we're mostly dealing with bigger pike that people have fun catching. And those bigger pike are going to continue to reproduce, and hopefully we have enough muskies out there that they can eat those little pike, right? But it is a tough balance, and, you know, in a lot of parts of the world, they didn't really evolve together, and you know, so they don't have a lot of experience with dealing with each other, and that's the case around here. So we see a lot of problems when we have pike in our muskie lakes, and our main goal is just to get that abundance down. But I got a story for you that you'll like.
Yeah.
We were shocking out on Spider Lake. We had a member of the Lake Association with, and our crew out there, and we got a 41-inch muskie, really nice fish, very healthy fish, but boy, it was extra fat. You know, we were seeing that belly, we said, there's something going on here. So sure enough, while it was still recovering, I pried the mouth open, and there's the tail of about a 20-inch northern sticking out of there. So muskies do like to eat those pike. We've seen that a number of times. So,
well, most any good muskie guide out there, if the fall, if he catches a 18-inch, 17, 16-inch pike, he'll string it up. If he, you know, replace a sucker with it, because they do like to eat them, I think, more than suckers.
That's great. Yeah, and yeah, I would encourage people to give that a try if they haven't before. It's totally legal to do as long as that pike counts towards your daily bag limit. Yeah.
So. You know, talking about the bone problem and, you know, the Y bones and the pike, there's a lot of different ways out there. A lot of them are on YouTube and online. You can learn how to fillet them.
Yeah, you bet. And you hear the 5-cut method now or the 5-fillet method. So there's a lot of different ways to get around that problem. We just have to kind of get people over the stigma of, oh, I don't want to keep it, it's a pike. They can help the lake, they can get a good fish fry for themselves, and if you're fishing the Chippewa flowage this year in 2019, I think all the way up until October, the property owners, resort owners, and Muskies Inc. are kind of running a contest out there, a raffle. So folks who harvest pike and could prove they harvest them either by showing off the fish or a photo of them harvesting the fish can take those photos and go to one of the resorts or the bait shops in the area out there, Jenks and D&B. And they can fill out a raffle ticket. And there's going to be quite a few prizes, with the top prize being $1,000.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, this 18-inch little snaky pike that you didn't want to keep before, well, maybe you start thinking about it. That could be a $1,000 snake. So, but that's part of this big push to get a lot of pike harvested out there. And we're going to track our success in doing that with those raffle tickets. So we'd encourage people to, you know, have some fun and participate in that. Make a nice fish fry for yourself.
I know some of the guys, I've got buttons. The deal is, if you harvest a pike, you get a ticket. If you harvest your limited pike, you get 5 tickets. Yeah. Again, you get a pin.
Yeah, you get a, they have these cool little pins. It's got like the Northern Lights on there and a Northern Pike. Northern Lights, Northern Pike. So there's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on. I think resorts are going to have individual competitions. They're talking about like pickled fish cook-offs, so to speak. Some of the big tournaments out there are getting behind this effort, and they're including pike in some of their competition, and some of the prizes are going to be specifically for pike. We just had a tournament at Pat's Landing last weekend where they gave out a prize for the smallest stringer of 5 pike, which is a great way to get into the mindset here of keeping those smaller ones, which is really where we want to see the harvest focused. If you catch a 38-inch pike or something, you know. Yeah. We're not demanding that those all be those. That's a fun one. You can let that one go. Let somebody else catch that one. We're talking about really reducing that abundance of small pike.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see all this go on, and maybe we can get everything working, take a little pressure off the panfish and the walleyes.
That's the idea. That's the idea exactly. And then stock some muskies this fall and have a bunch of them survive and just kind of, you know, get us away from this pattern we've been locked into, which is that we just got all these little pike and there's nothing we can do about it. It's not true. There is something. We're going
to
do it.
Max, well, it's a pleasure talking to you here. You've done a lot for the area, and hopefully we keep all working together.
Well, that's right. We're going to work together. We're going to keep trying stuff. Some things are going to work. If they don't, we're going to learn from our mistakes and keep trying more.
Thanks for being on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, he's always interesting to listen to. We need to take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, we've got an interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Bunny propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check and Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping out co-host today is fishing guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, first thing I want to mention here, we still got a few fishing contests coming up, and we got the Walleye for Northwest Wisconsin Ice Fishing Contest will be coming up February 16th. I want to cover more of that in the future shows.
Absolutely, yeah, that's always been a great turnout, a lot of fun. There's some great, great prizes. We actually have ticket bundles here at the store. If you buy them early, you get a little bit of a cut in the price. You also get a headlamp and flashlight as kind of with your early purchase of this. Of the ticket bundle, but it's a great time, great event for the family, great event for kids too as well. All in all, we do look forward to it every year.
And there's another contest I think coming up, if I'm correct, something out at Deerfoot on February 2nd and 3rd. Well, you know, one of the Hayward area guides that works at the store here too is fishing guide Steve Jensen. And Steve gets out there and does a bunch of ice fishing. I had a chance to talk to him about a bunch of different topics. So let's hear what he had to say about ice fishing, and we come back with a wrap-up on the show. Steve, you know, when it comes to fishing out there, one of the things that gets talked about a lot is the active baits of jigging wraps and the spoons trying to trigger responsive strikes. But the key there is if people try it, they don't catch fish. You have to be really sure that you're on the fish, in the fish with the bait. They won't go very far after.
Absolutely, John. As you know, you can't catch which isn't there. So you have to be on top of fish for those types of lures to work. But they do work, and a lot of times I'll have a couple different ones set up and on hand. If I have a fish that comes rushing in on, say, a rip and wrap, I will quickly, if it doesn't bite, it quickly drop down a jigging wrap or a spoon. And a lot of times that change-up will be what will get that fish to bite. And the other thing is to use them aggressively to call fish in. Once you get them to come in, then you slow down, make it a little bit more subtle. But the other thing is to slowly take it away from the fish. If you just leave it in their face and they're not biting it, they're usually not going to bite it. And that's when I start to tease them, trick them up, get them to raise up off the bottom. Once you start to get those fish to interact with your lure, you have a lot higher chance of getting them to bite.
I find sometimes, too, that you watch in your electronics, if you can find a fish off the end of a point with your side imaging on your Hummingbird or anything like that, if you throw the bait right in them, most often you'll get one to hit it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that just comes down to that reaction bite. All of a sudden, it's right in their face, and that comes comes down to what you said before. If you're not on top of the fish or close to the fish, you're not going to get the bites. You have to be relatively close to them. But these presentations do work. It just takes a little bit of time on the water with them to gain confidence. Once you catch a few fish on them and you learn how to use them, you'll realize that's a very important thing to use in your arsenal.
And actually get as good as you can with your electronics too, because that'll help too.
Absolutely. In combination, it works quite well. And you know, moving around, fishing fast, fishing aggressively, and also using your electronics has really created kind of a new age of angler in which we're a lot more efficient than we once were, and we're catching a lot more bigger fish than we once did.
One thing I will tell people is that there's a lot more up here to fish for than just go after walleyes.
Absolutely, John. You know, most of us spend a lot of time pan fishing, and we've talked about the pike fishing before, too. Pretty much that's what you're going to encounter, walleyes for a few hours in the evening, but during the day I like to go in those weed flats and or, you know, some deeper weed edges and chase those panfish, and we throw out some tip-ups and catch some dang nice pike. They fight hard and they're also very delicious as well.
And sometimes, you know, you get a lot of bluegill action in the daytime, and sometimes the crappies don't seem to be quite so active till maybe later in the day.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's all timing. You know, fish don't bite all day long any day. You know that, being a guide. Being on the fish at the right time of day can certainly be the key. That's why we like those bluegills during the day and the pike during the day, because they're usually a little bit more forgiving. But you'll obviously have your days where they want to feed in certain windows too.
Any good tips for people to catch, be more effective when it comes to catching panfish out there?
You know, with panfish, to me, it's about being mobile and using electronics. And I think the other key is to fish deeper water, you know, especially if you want to get in those larger panfish. A lot of guys don't have aren't as comfortable fishing over deeper water. But once you learn how to use electronics, use how to use tungsten jigs, things to get down there quickly, it's a very effective way to catch larger panfish.
Perch is a popular fish to go after. If you can find the bigger perch, but there's still a lot of perch out there, it's a little bit different looking for them, though, than bluegills or crappies.
Yeah, it certainly is, John. Perch are certainly a favorite of mine. And we have some good perch fishing here. The problem with perch is they're a lot of work sometimes, and they move a lot. And a lot of times where we leave them, they aren't there the next day. So really it comes down to drilling a lot of holes, moving a lot, and trying to follow and stay with those fish, which can be a little bit problematic as they move around so much.
A lot of guys are looking too shallow for them, though. They go out in that soft bottom area.
They do. They love the basin, and they, like I say, they like to roam and feed in that muck area. They're usually down on the bottom in the types of areas where you would find the crappie suspended over that same deep water, but they're usually just related more to the bottom.
What type of presentation or bait or line are you using on that?
You know, for me, it's a pretty simple presentation. I run 4-pound solar micro ice. It's an awesome line. I can see it very well. Has a little bit of give. Typically, we're fishing 20 feet, sometimes up to 30 feet. And I'm using just basically small spoons. It's probably my favorite. I will fish aggressively with a spoon with a minnow head or tipped with spikes or waxies. If I get into fish that are looking a lot and not biting on the spoon, then I'll usually downsize to a tungsten jig and just work them a little bit slower.
And usually it's always, again, in that basin area, that deeper basin area.
Typically, John, but, you know, there's always, you know, exceptions to the rule. Every now and then I'll find a school of perch or a group of perch that will move up along a weed edge. All depends on the lake and the makeup of the lake. If it's a shallower type lake, a lot of times you can find those fish just outside those weed edges. But typically you want to look in the basins, and I'm usually starting at about 15 feet of water and working down to about 30.
And electronics is really key.
It is, John. I don't go fishing without mine anymore. And obviously we caught them before we ever had Vexilars or Markhams, but it's a whole different world. I can literally hop from hole to hole to hole and know exactly what's underneath me. And using electronics, we can judge and test the attitude of the fish and what's working on any given day. And it's amazing how much it can change, and you can actually see that while fishing through your electronics.
Good information. You want to give out your guide information?
Yeah, you bet, John. If anybody wants to get out and do some fishing this winter, 715-558-3709 or fishhunts.com.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different things we talked about, and when it comes out there, is that the bite window is a thing we want to talk about real quick here. There's things that early in the day, late in the day, moonset, moonrise, different things can trigger it, but you know, don't get discouraged if you're not getting fish right away, because there's going to be a time during the day they're going to be active.
Absolutely, John. A great example of this is a buddy of mine. We were on the flowage, and we were buzzing around. We were finding crappies, and we were marking crappies, and they're just coming up to sniff. They weren't really happy fish, as I like to put them. And we got on a spot, though, where we found happy fish, and it was good action. You had to have the right jig cadence, but when they ate, it was awesome. It was great. We had a good time. but then as soon as that cloud cover came in, it shut off like a light switch. So you never know, but you got to be out there to experience it and know it, and just be watching these subtle things and changes.
You bet. Well, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on here. And folks, if you miss a show, remember you can always get that show from our website at WNORadio.net. From there, we can link through to our podcast site and to our YouTube site. Lots of interesting stuff coming up on that, too. We're out of time for this week, and we'll see you again next week.
I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.